now I have a machine gun. Ho, ho, ho.
Hello and a Merry Christmas from the Sound of Football podcast. You join us here in our grotto, snow all around. It's polystyrene snow, but it looks good, doesn't it?
Looks good to me.
Yes,
yeah,
yes. I'm Santa this year, and my elves here are Jan Bilton.
Hello.
And Terry DeFellin.
Hello.
And man alive, you really do rock those yellow tights, you know.
Thank you very much. You're very kind. I'm feeling very splendid in them.
I'm sure you are. You must be. I mean, like how long have you been in those?
Oh, a couple of days.
Were they yellow when you put them on?
Oh, I'm going to have real trouble sleeping tonight. I don't shut my eyes.
Yeah, well, you know what happens. Santa's not going to come.
No one.
I don't think he could with that image in his mind.
Nobody asked to come and stay around my house.
Yes. When Yang calls down a chimney at midnight, you know, he's not going to be leaving any presents. Not the sorts of presents you want, anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it of course is our Christmas special, and it wouldn't be Christmas without us dusting off our big advent calendar, opening up 24 doors, and seeing who or what is behind them. I think this is our fifth one. This
it
one
must be. Yeah, I think we've been doing this since the beginning.
It's my third.
Maybe not the first Christmas. Yeah, no, it's the second Christmas.
I think our first one was in Pod 100 actually.
Mm.
So there you go, facts fans. Yeah,
I did post a link to all the previous advent calendars on our much subscribed to Facebook page. But I'm surprised listeners probably found it amongst all the incredible busyness that is the Sound of Football Facebook page. Because it's like Piccadilly Circus there, really. Piccadilly Circus at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Covered in vomit. Right.
So you'd know, well, obviously.
Yes, of course I would. So, Jan, could you do us the favour of opening up the first door of our advent calendar?
I can indeed. Oh, it's the Bonkers Premier League.
Whoa, the Bonkers Premier League. It is bonkers, isn't it?
It's mental.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be the BPL stood for the Barclays Premier League, didn't it? But no longer. Now it's the Bonkers Premier League.
It is bonkers.
Do we love the Bonkers Premier League?
I love the Bonkers Premier League.
Yeah, long may it rain, eh?
I hope it goes on forever.
Yeah. I do feel that Sunderland is somehow missing out on the Bonkers Premier League.
Yeah, I don't think they got the memo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Them and Newcastle are going, hang on.
Well, you've got to have some constants in your life.
Yeah,
and,
true,
and
true.
Sunderland and Newcastle are maintaining the tradition.
Yeah, Sunderland are just keeping it real, aren't they, really?
They are keeping it real.
Yeah, they go for April bonkers. They don't like all this, like, Revis sort of like, you know, like November bonkers and December bonkers.
We're traditionalists. We do it in the spring.
Yeah.
Damn right. Yeah, I'm, of course, having a wonderful time with the Bonkers Premier League because Palace are sixth.
Yeah, you go. Yeah.
Beating everyone that
they go to places like Stoke and win in the last minute. You know, I mean, that's always good. It's always immensely satisfying. Yes. Because obviously Stoke, tough place to go, as we all know, a tough place to go, even on a Saturday afternoon, even in a perfectly clement December Saturday afternoon, it's still a tough place to go.
Yeah, it is.
You know, and that was a fantastic win. But of course, you know, Watford. Yeah, Watford, who spanked Jurgen Klopp. They more like Gegen depressing, am I right?
Yeah.
I think that might be an old one. And possibly that you may have heard that one before. So it's all fantastic. I mean, even in their own way, Bournemouth.
Getting it done.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean, we'll see what happens in the... It could be a bit of a killjoy second half of the season, but we'll see.
I think the bonkersness is going to go on. I think there's going to be more bonkers. I think other people are going to join the party, though, and I think it's going to mix all up again. And then other people are going to suddenly realise, hang about, we haven't won in weeks, like West Ham. And who knows what could happen to them.
Who knows, eh? Or dares to dream.
You never know. Never know. Listeners, they might be behind one of these gates soon. Now, behind door two is Gary Neville.
G-Nev.
Look at him there. Look at him enjoying the sunshine of Valencia. Yeah.
L-Nev.
Yeah.
L-Nev.
You heard it here first.
L-Nev indeed. Unlike Gagan Depressing, which you heard here last. G-Nev, obviously, connection with the owners of Valencia.
Yeah, certainly. Through Salford City and all of that. This is Spanish Salford City, isn't it?
That's right, indeed.
He's gone to manage,
isn't it? Yeah, maybe it's a bit bigger than Salford City, but nevertheless, yeah.
Okay. I mean, obviously, like he's got rid of his TV commitments now to go and manage Valencia for a couple of months.
Yeah, until he gets kicked out.
Is he still doing his England stuff as well, though?
I think he's still doing his England stuff, actually.
Well, there isn't much England stuff to do until the summer, and he'll be out of the job by then, so...
But it's going to provide a lot of entertainment, though, for the next few months, just to see how he does out there.
But also what it's going to do is it's going to also hold up to the lens the whole punditry versus management kind of debate. Not that there's a debate about it at all, but the idea of, do pundits make good coaches? Which sounds like a sound of football topic, actually.
Yeah, maybe we should do that.
After G. Never's fallen flat on his arse, but... or not. But I mean, because obviously he's a highly respected pundit. Very, very few dissenting voices about G-Nev, even after now. And so it's interesting to see whether or not those skills transfer over to management and coaching.
Mm. Terry, why don't you open up number three?
It's Jeffrey Boycott. No, it's Boycotts.
Boycotts. I'm sorry about that rather confusing picture there of Jeffrey Boycott. This is about Boycotts. This is about
Boycotts.
More focused on fan boycotts, this one. Rather than the big sort of FAs saying, right, we're going to go to Qatar or anything like that. If they ever did that, if they ever grew a pair and said that. But we're talking about fans actually sticking it to the man and not turning up or not buying pies and things like that. Terry, I'm going to ask you about, because they've been talking a lot about this in Australia at the moment, haven't they?
Yeah,
and they did indeed. It's actually worked, hasn't it?
It kind of worked. It looks like it's kind of worked. In Australia, there was... Oh, it's a bit of a long story, but there was a list of football fans who were banned from football, and that list came into the possession of a prominent newspaper who then published the names on the list. And many of these fans hadn't... I don't think they'd been charged or anything like that. They just had been banned, and they hadn't had the right to appeal, and they were furious. And there's an undercurrent about it. There's an antagonism between the Australian football authorities, and particularly stewarding and stadium management in Australia, and soccer culture and football fan culture in Australia. Obviously, football fans are, to an extent, they're modelling their support on European and South American style, and this is quite different to what Australian stadium managers are used to dealing with and stewards. And there's always been that antagonism. Anyway, it came to a head with this list, and it resulted in a league-wide boycott, fan boycott of football, and so just them just not turning up, and it seems to have worked, or at least there's been some progress, because within a few days, the FFA, the Football Federation Australia, were sat down with representations of fan groups from all of the A-League clubs to try and work out how they can get past this and address the fans. It would seem, on the surface, quite legitimate concerns. Mm. We do have Australian listeners. They will perhaps fill us in a little bit more on the in-depths and where
Please
I've got
do.
That wrong and where I've got that right. But it's something that can only really happen in Australia because... There are so few, frankly, fans that go to games that if you organise a boycott, there's not like there's a whole swathe of fans waiting. Mm. So boycotting Old Trafford, for example, would be a bit pointless because you'd only just be giving tickets to people who don't care and would pay the extra money.
Yeah.
But this could be a tactic that could be employed perhaps in lower leagues. And it has been demonstrated, at least in Australia, that it can be done. Boycotting works in this instance.
Great. Yang, can you open up door number four, please?
It's new FIFA.
New FIFA. Is there going to be a new FIFA, Jan? Do you think that, like, come February now, when a new president is put in office, you know, not unless, like, Sepp doesn't give the keys to his office.
He runs off with the keys.
Yeah.
Well, something's going to be new about it, isn't there? Because he's been banned for 8 years from having anything to do with the running of football.
But he's getting a new face, isn't he?
Mission Impossible.
That must be what that plaster is, and not him just trying to do a Nelly impression.
That actually wasn't Sepp Blatter. that was a complete body double a la Diamonds Are Forever. He's just emerged from his mud pit.
Necking mud pies.
Indeed.
Well, it needs to change. It looks like it is changing. So we're hopefully going to witness the genesis of something a bit more, a bit less corrupt.
Yeah, should be good though, shouldn't it?
Yeah,
it's going to be an interesting year, isn't it, for FIFA, isn't it? So, I mean, obviously, World Cup qualifiers start. In UEFA, they've already started all over the world. It's about 50 countries already been knocked out of this Russian World Cup. So, a new FIFA will emerge and we'll have a new leader. Do you have any preference for a leader?
Somebody who's not corrupt. I don't know if you can think of anyone. Sorry,
someone not corrupt. Totally charming.
Good with the media.
Yeah, that's right. Knows how to record a podcast.
Grim, do you know anybody who could dare?
I found out today, like, you know, a bald UEFA guy.
Yeah, well, he's up for it, isn't he?
Yeah, he's up for it.
Unless, of course, he's being indicted as well.
Yeah. He's younger than me.
No.
Yeah.
You know what that means? He's younger than me.
He's a couple of years younger than you, yeah? Yeah, he's 45. I looked at that today. I wanted him to win.
I still want him to win, even though
I think it'd be great. Actually, given on what I see him do.
Solely on the basis of the draw, the way he comports himself during the draw, I think he'll be a perfect choice.
Certainly, he'll conduct
matters in good order.
I know what goes through your head when you're doing one of these draws. And let me tell you, it's not as easy as it looks. You know? And I'm only doing it in one language, so. Right, okay, well, I'll open up the next one and see who's in there, see who's behind that one. Oh, Aston Villa.
It's Aston Villa.
Oh, dear, this is all very dark picture there. Things aren't looking very optimistic there, are they?
Big year for Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Let's face it.
Yeah.
Aston Villa are probably going down this year.
This
season.
I'm old enough to remember Aston Villa going down.
Yep, it was in the mid-80s, wasn't
it?
It was only for one season,
It wasn't for very long.
Yeah.
And they came back up again. And it wasn't that long after they'd had good success. They'd won a title, they'd won in Europe as well, didn't they?
They won the European Cup. Yeah.
And they went down just a couple of seasons later.
Not long after.
So, fortunes change for Villa fans, and this isn't the end of them, is it, really? I mean, I think
it might be. I think it's a big year for them. Because if they do get relegated, and there's a very good chance they will do, they need to bounce back. They need to be in the playoffs in the Championship by this time next year.
Yeah.
Because if they're not, I don't know how they're going to sustain themselves down there. Because they've got an absentee owner and very, very unlikely to find any new investment. Mm. And they're likely to be going to have significant wage bills. And I think that they could end up doing a Leeds.
Oh, dear. Well, I'll tell you what, Jan, open up door 6 and see if there's any salvation for them.
Oh, look, it's the Championship.
Well, yes, why not? No, look at it. It's great, isn't it? It's great, but also very, very, very scary, though, because there are a couple of clubs in there who are not having a great time of it.
No.
Thinking specifically Leeds and Bolton.
Yeah, Bolton is horrific.
It's horrific,
What is it, £273 million in debt?
It is.
I mean, how does that happen?
I don't know.
Who lends Bolton that much money?
It's like Lehman Brothers, isn't it? It's like it's something
too big to fill.
Yeah.
Oh no!
Oh no!
Yeah,
it is quite horrific. But up the other end of the table, it's the bonkers Championship, isn't it?
I mean,
Brighton lose their first game
they did
of the season at the weekend and end up being pushed out of the automatic promotion spots.
Mm.
It was bonkers last season as well.
Yeah.
So and those teams are doing very, very well in the Premier League this season.
Which
so,
means, yeah.
Yeah, so it's, yeah, it's, the whole thing's gone bonkers.
Bodes well for next season for Championship clubs coming up. I personally want to see Derby promoted. I think I said this last year. Mm. And I think actually I said this year before last. I want Derby to be promoted, and I'm fed up of Derby being down there. I want to see Derby in the Premier League. Mm. I want that to happen.
Good, cool. Yes. Okay. Jan, you open up another door.
It's David Beckham.
David Beckham's got a big year this year, isn't he? Mm. I mean, he's looking at for some beach property, isn't he?
He is. He's looking for some beach property in Miami, which is not easy.
No,
not many beaches in Miami.
Oh, come on, someone like David Beckham, you could obviously just build the ground wherever he likes, can't he?
Surely, he just has to turn up, shake a few hands, and they'll go, yes, of course, well, you can have this prime location here to build your, what is this, soccer stadium?
Yeah.
And what is a soccer stadium?
No, he can't build it wherever he wants, can he?
No.
Mm. They've turned him down from the beachfront property.
They have,
they?
So he's
doing some industrial estate, I think, somewhere out the back.
His options are quite limited now. And Graham, you were telling me that apparently he was in the news saying that he wanted to sign Zlatan for this nameless, stadiumless, squadless MLS franchise.
I think it's more of a question of sign them and the whole thing will just build itself around them.
Sign them and they will come.
It's the other way around. Instead of build it and they will come, it's they will come and then you build it.
Mind you, I mean, with Zlatan, I can actually see that happening.
I can just see
for the sheer force of his ego, a stadium erecting itself.
It'll be like that bit in Frozen, isn't it? When she like spins her arms around and suddenly a castle appears, doesn't it? You know what I'm talking about, Jan, don't you?
I've never seen Frozen.
So he's going to be garnering more and more attention for himself and new club.
The more desperate he becomes to get it done.
Wasn't it? It's about time he got a bit of attention.
He's stuck in the shadows for too long. I never thought he'd actually... Because I think last year he didn't appear on the advent calendar, I think, for the first time.
No Lord Beckham?
No Lord Beckham. And I think he's obviously decided that he's got to do something to get back on track. So there he is, David Beckham. Right, I'll open one this time. Football podcasts.
Ooh. Football podcasts, you say?
Football podcasts. Well, do you know what? This year has seen loads of them, hasn't there?
Well, it's seen a few. You've seen a couple. There's certainly a couple that I listen to anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know.
New ones.
Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah.
And the bar has been risen. Risen? Raised.
Yeah,
we're not raising with it. Oh dear, yes.
Yeah, so obviously a lot people have been listening to us, thinking, you know, if those three clowns can get away with it, so can I.
And off they go.
dear, we made a rod for our own backs, really.
Yes, it's got to be said. It's interesting. I mean, it has been good with the new ones because there's been a little bit of cross-fertilisation, which is a bit of fun and cut from the same cloth, I think.
So, yeah, have you got any advice for people who are going to set up their own podcasts?
I wouldn't do it.
No? Yeah, that's it.
I think of something original. Don't listen to other podcasts and just lift the ideas straight from them. Don't listen to us and lift the ideas straight from us.
Don't do anything we do, basically.
Yeah.
That was for you, Ed. Right. Terry, open up another door.
It's Kingstonian FC.
We've gone non-league.
League, Kingstonian FC, who are they went into administration a few years ago and their ground was purchased by AFC Wimbledon, and AFC Wimbledon moved up through the leagues themselves and into the Football League, back into the Football League. And they built up the ground and developed the ground. And then they've sold the ground to Chelsea.
Mm.
Really?
Yes. So Kingstonian now are on notice, albeit I think a couple of years' notice, and they have to now find themselves a new stadium. So it's a big year for them. It's also a big year, I suppose, for Wimbledon, because they've got their reason why they've sold the stadium is because they've now got permission to redevelop the Wimbledon dog track, which they will do, which was just around the corner from where they are. So they are very happy because they are now very much back where they were, about half a mile away from Plough Lane, where they played.
That's a
in
big
their,
site as well.
Yeah, 1991 they finished. 91. I was at the game, their final game.
It was that long ago?
Yeah. Mm. It's taken them that long to go up there.
Wow.
But it has to be said that there are those who are not entirely happy with the way that Kingstonian have been treated through all of this. And that, and no matter how much notice that they had, and no matter how supportive their board are, a number of Kingstonian fans are very unhappy with the way that this is. They're never going to find a place in Kingston. I mean, they're never going to find a place in Kingston. I mean, where in Kingston are you going to get permission to build a football stadium? You know, even if you've got the money, you're not going to get the permission in the middle of a housing crisis in southwest London. Yeah. That's not going to happen. So those guys are being effectively forced out. And you can see the irony, I think. Wimbledon fans are defending their position, but I still think that either way you dress it up, you know, what's happened is that they've come along, they said, it's all right, lads, we'll look after you. And then a few years later, it's like, well, actually, guys, we're off now, so you need to make other arrangements.
Yeah, I have to agree. I mean, Wimbledon, AFC Wimbledon fans and the club themselves will say, you know, that they've done everything that they agreed to, that Kingstonian knew this was the situation when they were getting into it.
Yep. Yeah.
But I think from someone who has nothing sort of like to do with either club, I would say that, you know, if this was anywhere else, a club having their ground taken from under their feet, irrespective of whether or not, you know, what future plans were, it always stinks, doesn't it? It always leaves a sour taste in the mouth, because you know, well, look, you know, you have sold it to someone that doesn't want a sitting tenant, and hence these people are going to be homeless. Yeah. And effectively, they're going to be moving to South Chessington. That's the plan.
I don't know if that's a plan.
I think that's just talk.
I think that's talk. Yeah. I don't even think that's talk. But I mean, obviously, that's not.
Which is about as far away from where they're playing now as Plough Lane is.
Right.
So it's like both clubs are going about the same sort of distance away in opposite directions.
But I think it does mean that we can perhaps finally rid ourselves. And indeed, in fairness, Wimbledon fans, and many Wimbledon fans have never done a great deal to promote this, but this notion that the AFC Wimbledon are sort of like, you know, paragons of a new virtue of supporter-owned football clubs, I think perhaps that's something that I don't think that they would necessarily be held up to. But I stress, many Wimbledon fans don't give two shits about it. You know, they are back in their club, that where they feel they belong, where they feel that they were treated harshly when they were unceremoniously moved from their club to Selhurst Park, and then indeed onto Milton Keynes. So, you know, I mean,
it's going to be an interesting 12 months, and I think there is a lot of talk at the moment between the two clubs and about how, what's the right thing or how clubs should conduct themselves. But I think it's over the next 12 months that we're going to be really seeing about how this really settles down.
On the upside, Chelsea women's team is going to be getting a really nice stadium. It's going to be used for Chelsea's women's team.
Yes, that's quite upside.
So I guess you can say that. So.
Because, yeah, and open up the next door is...
It's women's football.
Women's football. Women's
what a
football.
Link. That was seamless. You think we planned this in advance?
You wouldn't have thought that we just throw it all together, do you? Yes, women's football.
Big year. It had a big year.
Well, yes, they've had a big year. Now they've got another big year because they've got another world tournament. No, another full tournament.
Really?
In the summer. Yeah. All the big international teams.
All of them.
Well, except one. Except one team that qualified but isn't allowed to go.
And that would be England.
Well, it would be England. I mean, obviously, it would be Britain because it would be the Olympics, and England doesn't send a team there, so they would send Team GB like they did last time. Unfortunately, because the Welsh, Scottish, and Irish FAs all think that FIFA are out to get them. And actually not because they just want to stick one to the FA, because the FA put David Gill up as the vice president of FIFA. said, no, we're not going to get together and put a Team GB together. So there, big news to you. And of course, while the men don't give a monkeys about it because it's an under-23 tournament and, you know, ho-hum, For the women, it is a full international tournament.
Yeah.
And
a fantastic opportunity.
Fantastic opportunity.
For all British women players, but I guess particularly for the English
women players. Yeah, but there are old Welsh and Scottish players who missed out on the World Cup who could have gone to...
And they won't because of the political machinations of a bunch of blokes.
Yes. So,
idiots.
Yes. Hopefully, this will be back in the news again once the Olympics starts and people start thinking.
Yeah, once normal people realise, hang on, where are our girls? We had a team here 4 years ago.
The interesting thing is, though, if that's a big success in the Olympics, it will actually turn and put the pressure on the old boys' brigade and actually show them up for what they really are.
They look particularly stupid now because one of the big reasons, the public reasons, was, oh, we're concerned about what FIFA are going to do with this. I mean, like, FIFA are in disarray. I mean, they can't even tie their own shoelaces at the moment without getting arrested for corruption. So, I mean, it's not really as though there's some grand master conspiracy to unify all the British FAs. And I think we've said it before, we've said it a million times before. Maybe not a million times, but many times before, is that it's very difficult to force FAs to merge if they really don't want to.
Mm.
You can't just make them do it. I don't think it really works like that. Okay. Anyway. New door.
Well, it's Gareth Bale.
Ooh.
My word, what's he doing? Who's he playing for now? Is he...
Some Spanish team.
Ah, yes. I
Getafe, close to Getafe. Anyway.
Yeah, somewhere near there. I see he knocked a few goals in at the weekend, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, he got a couple. Yeah. I mean, this scraped through. It was a lucky win.
Yeah, but of course he'll be making noise in the summer because obviously him and Wales are going off to Gareth Bale's Wales.
Gareth Bale's Wales.
Is that what his MLS franchise will be called?
Yeah, Gareth Bale's
when
Wales.
When he gets it.
You just know there's bound to be a number of different tabloids that will refer to them as Gareth Bale's Wales.
Yes.
Beginning with us. Beginning right here, Gareth Bale. GBW.
Maybe they'll just shorten it to Bales.
Bales.
Yep. Yes, it Welsh fans. Even after all this, we still find a way to cheapen your achievements. I can only apologise.
Good luck, Wales.
Good luck, Wales.
Well, good luck, Gareth Bale.
Good luck, Northern Ireland as well.
Well, yes, indeed.
Yes. Behind door number 12 is...
It's the boy from the Black Forest, Jurgen Klopp.
Jurgen Klopp. Well, this has been a massive year for him, and now it's going to be even bigger, isn't it? Now, before he joined Liverpool, we were all thinking that he was going to come over here and he was going to join a club. And now he's there at Liverpool. I just can't imagine, why I didn't see it before, that how much of a perfect fit he is for that club.
Mm-hmm.
He is going to be turning the into Dortmund of England, isn't he?
Whether he's successful or not, I don't know, but yes.
Yeah. I mean, he is following in the Liverpool tradition, isn't he? He's following exactly in Brendan Rodgers' tradition. In fact, he's got the same record now.
Not supposed to say things like that. It's in politic.
Yes. Brendan Rodgers was our Christmas Eve last year.
Really?
Yeah.
How the mighty have fallen.
Yeah.
Beginning of this year, Jurgen Klopp was standing on the touchline at the Westfalen, staring aghast as the Südtribüne fans turned on the players just after the defeat to Augsburg.
Mm.
And Roman Weidenfeller, the Dortmund keeper, was over there with Mats Hummels trying to plead with the fans to calm down. And they were so angry with the way things had gone because Dortmund were bottom of the table.
Mm.
And it was looking utterly, utterly bleak. And I think, personally, that may well have been the moment that Klopp thought, I'm going to have to go.
Mm. So listen to that, Chelsea fans, because they finished, seventh or eighth?
Yes, they finished seventh and qualified for the Europa League.
Yeah, so from being bottom at Christmas. So
it happened.
It happened. So
and it could happen. Aston Villa left.
It could happen in this bonkers Premier League.
It could. Oh, yeah, we're talking about Jurgen. Behind door 13 is tactics.
Tactics.
Oh, yeah. People are talking about tactics again, aren't they?
They're always talking about tactics.
Yeah, but now they've got names for them, like gegenpressing.
Gegenpressing.
Or high pressing, as they...
High pressing,
They like to call it, don't they?
Yeah, the pundits are using the word pressing a lot these days.
They like pressing.
They do,
It is a pressing term. And there's also the thing about you know, giving up possession as well. I was seeing like possession stats from the weekend, and they were saying that all these teams that had the lowest possession all won
football matches.
Yeah,
it's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
Yeah,
it's almost like that's got nothing to do with winning football matches, isn't it?
Yeah,
this is just the
tactics people trolling the stats people, isn't it?
Yeah, this is what it is.
So that's what we can expect in 2016 is more of the tactics people trolling the stats people, unless the stats people can come back. Stats people, if you're out there, you know, up your game.
Don't worry, they've got plenty of that up their sleeve.
Yeah, oh, it's falling down a few percentage points.
We could easily discuss, we could easily include stats in with tactics, actually.
Yes.
They're all trolling each other and themselves.
Statics. Is that a word?
Statics? I don't think so.
Well, it is. You could try to make it a word.
I don't think it's an appropriate
word. I don't think we should.
It's a bit 70s.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was born in the
70s. I tell you what, just for that, You open that door for us old uns.
It's Roy Hodgson.
Roy. Big summer for Roy, is it?
Massive summer for Roy.
How
he can't win, though.
He can't win?
He can't win. I mean, he can win. He's done it 10 times out of 10. He clearly can win. But he can't win because the press still thinks he's no good. Mm. He literally couldn't have done any better.
I like the fact that they don't like him. Because basically for me, anyone who doesn't like him is just like you know, just their opinion is just worthless. I think he's brilliant as England manager.
Well, he's like I said, he couldn't have done any better.
No.
Literally, could not have done any better. So, hopefully he'll go on and do something special.
He's done all the things that people wanted him to do as well. He's got rid of the old players and he's brought in young players.
Yeah,
and people were clamouring for years for Capello to do that. And nobody did it, and then finally Roy's come along and did it. And he did it just before the World Cup, and he didn't really work out that well. Well, not just before, but a few months before the World Cup, he started to bring together these younger players that had come through having a breakout season. It didn't really work out in the World Cup, but now they're a good side. They're a really likable team. I like this England side, and I hope that they can put in some memorable performances without being naive enough to think that they might win. That would be, I think, naive.
Ah, but look, who's behind door 15? It's Wayne Rooney.
Ah, well, that does kind of blow what I've just said out of the water, doesn't it?
Yeah. When's he going to retire?
After Euro 2016, I should think.
Do you think?
Well, I tell you what, though.
Is he done? Is he crooks?
Well, he does.
He's burnt out?
Yeah, I think.
He's had a long career.
I mean, he has had a long career, and he does look like his best days are behind him.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
He could probably still. I mean, you know, he still scores goals for England. So maybe if he is an international player, you know, and if Roy can make him work, then from an England point of view, it could work out. From a United point of view, you do have to wonder what's going on there.
Mm.
It doesn't really look like anything like the player that we do. You know, I saw some interesting stat bumps on Twitter about over the last four seasons about his progress in pretty much every sort of important metric, if you want to call them important and indeed metrics. And there was a pronounced bump, and going some way back where his best bumps were behind him, and he was very much in decline. Now it was an illustration. It may not have been particularly accurate, but I felt that it seems to fit in nicely with the narrative and indeed with the evidence of your own eyes.
Mm. Yeah, well, I think we've said before as well, he's been playing for so long that he's going to be burned.
He's got to be. He needs to take. I wonder what would happen one day if a player like him, or indeed him, actually said, you know what, I'm taking a sabbatical. I'm going to go away now. Because how old is Rooney?
29?
He's in his 20s.
28, 29?
See, he has conceivably. He could go on until into his mid-30s. But you would think, if you look at him now, and you think there's no way he could go on into his mid-30s.
Yeah, I don't.
He has been playing pretty much week in, week out since he was 16.
Technically, he could. Players do go on into their mid-30s.
Yeah.
He could do that.
He's covered a lot of ground. It's not like he's a keeper.
But what would happen if he took a year out? What if he actually said, you know what, I'm going to take a year out?
He could do it.
I mean, there's a female biathlon player. Mm. I'm afraid I don't remember her name, I'm very sorry to say. I'm absolutely at the top of her game. I can't remember who she is. But she's taken a year out at the top of her game, and she's got because of the pressure build up. She did really well at the Olympics. She's done very well, but she just can't deal. She's a Belarusian, and she just can't she said that the pressure is too much and she needs to rest. And she's taken a rest. She's has every intention of coming back the following season. And no one really, well, I say no one, I don't really follow biathlon, but I mean, my impression is that no one's really thinks that this is a terrible idea. Maybe Wayne Rooney should, after Euro 2016, say, actually, guys, I'm taking a sabbatical for a year and I'm going to relax, regenerate, recuperate, and come back. I wonder if that will ever happen.
Louis van Gaal.
Oh, well, there you go. Well, their fates are entwined, aren't they? Louis van Gaal, is he going to be? How long is he going to be in a job for next year?
I think it seems to have come around very quickly, and I think the criticism of him, because they were kind of doing all right. Where are they? They're fifth or sixth. They're not doing too badly. I mean, they're not winning everything. That's fair enough.
Level on points with Crystal Palace.
But with all the stuff that came up with Jose and a few other managers, I just think that he's almost been dragged into it, and then consequently he starts to have a series of bad results. Maybe I don't know. It was the press are getting to him or whatever. It's getting to the players, but a lot of the pundits are saying he's on his way out.
He's got
a system, Van Gaal, and he knows that in order to get to where they want them to be, he has to work to this system, and that means them probably being a bit dull. But obviously it's not working out because you've got to keep getting your results. Arsene Wenger has said, big quote from Arsene Wenger from back in the years, is that you can do whatever you want, but you have to keep winning football matches.
Yeah.
And Louis van Gaal is not doing that. If they were winning, if they were squeezing through with 1-0s and unconvincing 2-1s, it'd be different. But they're losing, and that is not on at United, as we know. Well, anywhere, frankly, but particularly there.
Well, let's hope there's some Christmas cheer for him anyway.
Let's hope so.
Let's hope so.
Yeah.
There's a surly-looking chap behind door 17. That's Diego Costa.
Oh, blimey, keep your distance, this bloke. Apparently this bloke's a bit of a,
nutcase.
Bit of a nutcase.
Do you reckon he's gonna have a change of heart over Christmas and say, no, I've been wrong all this time. I'm gonna put my back in now, and I'm gonna stop haranguing everyone else on the team, and I'm gonna put it 100% in every time. I'm not gonna throw my bibs down when I don't come on.
Do you know what I think is going to happen? He's going to get visited by three ghosts, and they're going to show him the error of his ways.
And I'll tell you what,
three Diego ghosters.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Who could be the ghost of Christmas past? It's Jose Mourinho. Oh dear!
Well, you worked that with, again, a seamless link there.
Thanks.
Yeah, well, this could be It could be a while before he's back in the advent calendar.
Do you think?
I mean, there's talk about him replacing Van Gaal as United manager. But okay, if I was to put my pundit's head on, I would say that is perhaps ill-conceived, and that perhaps Mourinho could himself, talking of sabbaticals, could do with some time off to reflect and maybe watch a bit of football without having to manage teams, and maybe just sort of recharge the batteries and come back in.
You said he's not going to, though.
He wants to go straight back in on the horse.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he released
a statement through his his guys.
He knows his situation better than I do.
Yeah.
But you do have to wonder whether or not that is wise, and we will find out. But if he does take over from Louis van Gaal, I mean that would be quite interesting because his approach is. His approach has been said to be quite negative. I mean, I don't know whether Man United really would appreciate his. His pragmatic approach, but you do have to wonder whether or not maybe his approach to football is perhaps maybe just a little bit dated. Maybe he needs to freshen up, and so it will be a bad move for United. But if I was to put my United hating hat on, I'd say yes, they should definitely go for it.
I'd love to see him back in it because I like his personality. I like the way that he's got a bit of bite about him.
Yeah, of course.
I think it'd be too soon for him to come back if he went to United. I think that'd be the wrong move for him. I think that would be he would be reacting almost in the heat of the moment. I think that'd be the wrong move. It might be the right club in the future. Sorry, in a season or so, but I don't think right now.
Yeah, well, because there's a lot of lazy hacks out there, and, you know, they do need some low-hanging fruit, so and well, you're always going to provide it for
we
them.
Can, we can understand that more than anyone.
Right. Now, here's someone who could be getting all these prime jobs, though. Pep Guardiola.
Yeah.
Now, where's he going to go?
World, he's his lobster.
Yeah.
He can. Well, I mean, anywhere he wants, basically.
Nobody's in at Bayern. Yeah. And said, right, okay, I want to go to a club. Now, he's not going to get at Chelsea.
Can we just reflect on the fact that he's handed his notice in at Bayern Munich?
He did.
When, who does that? Their notice in at Bayern?
Apparently he did it at the Christmas party.
Right.
Which, and we all do silly things at Christmas parties, don't you? You have too many eggnogs.
It's like basically
you go and tell the owner to fuck off. And the next thing you know, you're out on your ass.
He photocopied his ass on printed it off. And then he wrote his resignation letter on the back of it and gave it to Carlisle's Rummenigge. So there you go. There you go, mate.
Yeah, I'm off.
Fuck yes. Fuck yes. All right.
He woke up the next day and went, what did I do?
No.
What did I do?
And it's too late now because it's legally binding in German law. Chelsea's the obvious one. City is the one that they're going to... I mean, I say anywhere he wants. The thing is, I mean, he can't go to Real Madrid. I don't think they would have him.
No.
I doubt very much he'd want to go. I don't imagine he'd want to go back to Barcelona. Otherwise, why would he have left in the first place?
Mm.
So, who can afford him? Maybe one of the Italian clubs? Maybe. Probably not.
Truthfully.
PSG?
PSG have money and it would appear... You know, I mean, that would actually be a good fit for them, definitely. And, of course, Manchester City or Chelsea. Or, indeed, Manchester United.
Well, if it goes to a bidding war in the UK, it'll be Manchester City, won't it? But it depends on where he wants to go. I mean, he's part of the football aristocracy, isn't he? Does he want to go to somewhere like Manchester City or does he want to go to Manchester United?
He'll need to also decide when he wants to make his decision, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
He needs to decide when to decide. Because
Do you think he'll decide that before the summer?
Well, I think what he'll want to do is he'll want to keep his options open. So, for example, for as long as City are in the Champions League or in the title race, it's unlikely that Pellegrini will be sacked.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it was not really good form to then go after City to go after Guardiola while Pellegrini is still in the job.
Mm.
So Chelsea, in the meantime, means they've got the inside track, and then they could do some work their mojo and make him an offer he can't refuse.
Okay. Oh, it's the Olympic Stadium in Stratford.
What are they calling that these days?
West Ham's ground.
West Ham's ground. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's as good a name as any. That's what it is, after all.
I wonder if they are going to keep it the Olympic Stadium or something.
I don't know. I haven't looked into it.
Unless they've sold off some kind of lucrative deal that the government's not going to get any money on for the naming rights.
Once again, the taxpayers missing out.
Yes. Yeah. Well, but of course, West Ham. They're not going to be in any danger this season, are they?
Should be all right.
Should be all right, aren't they? Haven't won in 6-7 games now.
Yeah, it's a bit worrying.
Yeah.
But they haven't lost the last three, have they?
They have drawn three in a row. So it's one of those in this bonkers Premier League that where anything could happen. Then,
well, arguably, no one's safe.
Yes,
in truth.
Yes. So, but they'll probably be all right. Actually, a friend of mine has actually been to the new stadium.
All right.
She's a season ticket holder at West Ham.
And
they actually sort of took them around there so they could see where they wanted their new seats to be.
Okay. And
apparently there's an interesting story behind it because they said when they've done this at other grounds, when they did it all in nine.
Right.
And they ended up with half the season ticket holders wanted to move after the first season because they didn't like where they were didn't like the bloke behind them. So at least this way they've done it in this sort of way where they've took them and they get a nice little chance to go out a little bit.
That's nice.
Interesting thing. Interesting thing.
Nice touch. It's the man of the moment, Jamie Vardy.
Jamie Vardy. Now, is he going to be off in January?
No. He'd be mad.
He'd be mad, wouldn't he?
But it is bonkers. It is bonkers.
Bonkers Premier League.
Yep.
It is very bonkers. He's doing great there. Brilliant. I love watching him. He's really up for it, and he's knocking them in. And I think he'd be mad to leave the league leaders in January. Who else is he going to go to? He's looking down on everyone else. So
he's on a hot streak.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
And I think that maybe the really big clubs would look at him and say, is this, is he in the zone, so to speak? And then will he come out of the zone? Will he not be quite so good? They'll look at his all-round game, they'll ask how much of a contribution he makes for the rest of it. Also, it'll be interesting to see what people, how people deal with him, how clubs deal with him. Now they've got a second crack at him in the second half of the season.
Yeah.
I think, if we're talking about high pressing, I think we're talking about high pressing for Leicester. They'll want to do something about those through balls and those crosses, which is really what Jamie Vardy feeds on. And as good as he is, and as brilliant, as sharp as he is, without those, you know, he's blunted off, because, I mean, he's he is a sharp instrument, but he does need... He does need the bullets. Obviously, you don't usually associate bullets with sharp instruments, but that's what happens when you use a metaphor in football, mate.
It is.
Let that be a lesson to us all.
Yes, you come up with some super weapon.
Be interesting to see what happens if they get any injuries, especially to Mahrez. Who's on fire and doesn't make it on the list. I think
Mahrez is actually the better player out of the two. If they were saying, who do you want out of that team, I'd say Mahrez.
Yeah, if you're definitely. Looking at an all-round game, definitely. Yeah, I reckon you're probably right.
I think he's an absolutely stunning player. Now, of course, if we're speculating about James Vardy, you've got also Claudio Ranieri. Now, why isn't anyone linking him with all the biggest jobs now?
Well, he's had them all, hasn't he?
It's true.
Because they know him? I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. But Claudio, we love him now he's back here, don't we?
Yeah.
He's never been away, is it?
It's like he's never been away. And he must have been, I don't know whether he did, but I mean, I'm sure that people felt that there was something sweet about the fact that Mourinho lost his job after the Leicester game.
Yes.
I think everyone's pleased that he is doing well, because again, he's a bit of a character from years of yore, from when he was at Chelsea.
Yeah.
And we'll see what happens to him in the summer, depending on where Leicester end up.
Exactly. And there's no pressure on him. I think that's why he's one of the factors why Leicester are doing so well.
Yeah.
He's got nothing to prove.
They fear
nothing
no one. Prove.
Yeah, and they've almost got their 40 points, just two
the
more
magic
to get.
40 points that they need. Yeah. Yep. For all that big money at the end of the season.
Just two doors to go. And this one is England versus Scotland.
Oh, my.
Oh, yeah, we've got some World Cup qualifiers starting.
Qualifiers, yeah. I know. World Cup qualifiers, and we're in Scotland. England are in with Scotland.
Yeah.
And the first match between England and Scotland, the first competitive match between England and Scotland, I want to say since Euro 96.
No, there was the playoff games we played against them.
I beg your pardon. For Euro 2000.
Yes,
I do apologise. Yeah. Okay, yeah, those were fairly big games.
Yes.
Yeah. November the 11th.
No, oh, yes.
Yeah, remember this day?
We all know what this means, don't we?
We do.
This is where the tabloids sharpen their pencils and go, those awful, awful, awful bureaucrats at FIFA.
Those FIFA Eurocrats have denied us the chance for our lads. To display our pride in our boys by wearing their poppies.
Oh, yeah.
Because poppies were banned the last time we played
a game. It was 4 years ago. We played a game. Yeah. It was on the Saturday of Remembrance Weekend.
That's right.
And
it was on the 11th. It was the 11th, or was it? It was close
enough. I think Wales played on the 11th, right. I think. And they were both countries were...
But they said that because the poppy is a symbol of the Royal British Legion, and although it's seen over here as being a charitable auction, it is, as far as FIFA and UEFA are concerned, they are a political... organization.
Yes.
And as such, political symbols are banned. And rightly so, because you could get all kinds of crazy people with all kinds of crazy ideas trying to get their crazy political symbols.
It's a big world with a lot of crazy ideas.
Yeah, exactly. So it may seem benign from our point of view, but there are those around who don't necessarily agree with that, but there you go. So you can, all that copy is probably being written as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
In preparation for what we already know is going to happen.
Yes. Mm. Something that will completely overshadow what should be a cracking game.
Corking game of football.
Yes. Yes. One more door. Go, both of you, because it's a double door.
Okay. You ready?
It's
Euro 2016.
Well,
you know.
How can we finish? Yeah, it's the big thing for next year, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's good to see all of the nations of these islands Almost. Is that right? I think we're going to be short on shortbread and heroin in France, aren't we?
But it's okay because we're playing them in November.
And smoking and pancakes as well, for that matter.
Alas.
Yeah, it's Dutch, aren't they?
Actually, interesting because I think three of the last six champions aren't there.
Ooh, go on.
Because Denmark aren't there
either.
Denmark
aren't there, yeah.
And Greece aren't there.
No.
So,
well, these are outlier champions, I suppose.
These are more of the past ones, yeah. Champions of the past. But yeah. Interesting to say nonetheless.
I reckon Germany are going to do it this time.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised, even though they've had a really, really rough qualification campaign.
Yeah.
They always.
Do you think
together, don't they?
Belgium are going to disappoint?
No, not this time, because I thought actually they were much better. They are in a tough group, yeah. I mean, they are not all in tough groups. France were a fairly easy group, but there's enough interest there, and also because I think with the home nations there, with the exception of Scotland, there's going to be quite a lot of local interest as well. Great atmosphere, it being in France, they'll put on a really, really good show.
They will,
and people are going to have fun going over there. For those of you who are fortunate enough to be going, which I believe is you, Sydney.
I suppose it is, yes.
Fantastic.
Ooh, nice.
You think so, anyway.
No, I think so. I'm unconfirmed, but hopefully I'll be seeing at least one game.
Well, I don't know, maybe something will emerge with me, although I don't think it will. What about you? You got any plans?
No.
I think I'll probably take some time off.
Well, hey, you never know what Santa Claus might bring you.
You never know. I think it'd be really unlikely if he brought me Euro 2016 tickets. Something for the garage, perhaps, but not for 2016.
On the naughty list, are you?
No, just buy a new house.
Well, that brings our advent calendar to a close. I hope you enjoyed it and that little peek into the future there. So, do we go into 2016 with a lot of positivity?
Well, if the Premier League, for one, stays bonkers, then yes.
Yeah.
We've got the Euros to look forward to. And potentially Guardiola coming over to England as well. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah.
Lots of questions to be answered, particularly at the top end of the Premier League table. Yeah. And lots of fun to be had finding out what the answers to those questions are.
And obviously issues that aren't focused on that part of the table as well, in the wider world.
Carlo Ancelotti's coming to Bayern Munich, which should be tremendously exciting as well.
Is that
good stuff? That is indeed confirmed. Mm. Yeah, Borussia Dortmund going great guns in Europe. Mm. Then the Champions League to look forward to as well.
Mm. Oh, so much to look forward to. So it only really leaves us to bring this to a close. But also to wish all of our listeners a very, very happy Christmas and a very, very happy 2016. So from me, Graham Sibley, from Jan Bilton, and from Terry DeFellum, Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas!
You can contact us through our website, sofpodcast.com, via Twitter, @soundoffootball, or on facebook.com/soundoffootball.
It's time to start running! Get set!
I'd be back. Only in a rerun.
Go!